your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Well, I guess we have to at least acknowledge that the Lakers won that in-season tournament thing, huh? Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Did you watch, Kyle? Did you watch the
championship game? I watched some of it, yes, I did. And
were you rooting for the Pacers as much as I was?
Nah, it didn't matter to me. It you know, I'm a LeBron guy.
Okay.
So I like LeBron James. You know, all the slander and hate that comes his way, I'm not down with. And so I was happy for him that he got it.
Yeah. All right. Here's speaking of happy, Darvin Ham, coach of the in-season tournament champion Lakers, on what a huge success this thing was.
Shout out to the NBA, Adam Silver, the crew, everybody that put this idea and took this idea and made it a reality. Even the way the games were interwoven into the regular season, it's a huge shot in the arm, especially for our group, the guys we brought back, the guys we added, and just playing some highly, highly intense basketball games, and with the playoff atmosphere / NCAA tournament atmosphere, being in a neutral city, I dig it.
I don't know what it is. L.A. just, boy, they've got an exclusive on any weird sort of, watered down sort of championship, in-season
Mickey Mouse
tournament
championships.
Or pandemic reduced season championship. So good for them. I wasn't excited to see the Lakers win. Here's one of the issues I had with the championship game. Most of this was just Laker resentment.
Okay.
And that's my deal. But seeing the players, and not just the Lakers, all the players talk so much about, hey, we're going to get that money, right? We're going to get that money. And I understand that. I don't begrudge them that at all. But if the players really, they say, we want to win because we want the money, it tells me that there's not much else there. When guys win the NBA championship, they get a lot of money. They don't talk about, yeah, we've got all that money. So if the players are just playing for the money, that's good for them. But what am I getting out of it? I don't know. I guess I'm just disappointed that the Lakers won.
Good yeah, that's them, what that is. That. Yeah, you're in your feelings about that.
We got the money. Show me the money.
If the Kings would have won, what would we have gotten out
of it? Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Raise the banner.
Exactly.
Where we put the banner.
Exactly. That's just some Lakers hate coming through. And it's all right. I get it. I understand. But, you know, I thought it was a rousing success, man. You know.
It was.
There's some pushback, you know, some markets, some people, you know. For instance, like, if you're Denver, are you really going out for the in-season tournament after you just won the real thing? Maybe not. But it was clear the Pacers were. It was clear the Lakers were.
Yeah.
Even the Kings. Like, Kings played their best ball outside of the Pelicans game during those in-season tournament games. Mm-hmm. And so it's here to stay. There's going to be some tweaks. I thought it was fantastic, man. You know, it's funny, though, because they had the off day Friday. They're doing off day press conferences. NBA TV's doing a show on, you know, like it's the NBA Finals. And I'm like,
I know.
Ah, guys, you know.
Yeah.
There should have been some, you know, it should have been, like, for instance, more should have been paid to the actual games Friday, and I would have liked to see maybe even some games on Saturday, too. Like,
yep, I'm with you.
It just felt like, as a basketball fan, I was starving a little bit for more basketball, and we didn't get it.
Yeah, I get it, and it worked. There's no question. You look at some of the numbers, the thing worked, and I understand why the league wanted to pound us over the head with, this is the in-season tournament. Don't forget, you're watching the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe they overdid a little bit, but, you know, they didn't know. That just my thing is, what really did the Lakers win? Are we going to care in a year that the Lakers won the first in-season tournament?
I don't know if we will, but they will. Like, the players on that team, I think they will. And, you know, we talked about this last week. If you're the NBA, you know, maybe the first NBA championship wasn't that big of a deal. But over time, you know, that's something, you know, if you go to the Hall of Fame or you go, you know, you're at your bar with your buddies, you know, that very first in-season tournament game, championship, my grandfather won that. Or so, you know, it means something to the people that actually won it. And the fan base, I would say, too.
I think it should be illegal, though, for anyone at any point to say, you know, LeBron won the in-season tournament. Michael Jordan never won that. If anyone ever says that, that should be at least a fine. That should at least be finable. Image Rock on the chat says, I said this last week. The NBA is going to get the Lakers the win.
Come on.
he's from Vallejo. I'm from Vallejo. I guess we see things the same way.
Man, Anthony Davis went for like 50 and 30 or something like that.
Yeah. So let's give the MVP to LeBron.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs> I'm not with the fake Lakers hate, Whitey. I can't get on board with that, man. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to the Lakers. I know Kings fans are going to get mad at me. Kudos to the Lakers. They
give
won
it.
Mm-hmm. You know, good for you. Now let's get back to the regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah.
You know,
like I said. It's like, Jackson Hayes gets $500,000.
Think about
going,
that.
Good job, big guy. AD. Hey, AD, dunk it. There we go. Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes.
So should bench players that don't play get rings if their team win the championship?
No, I just, it's, you know, I understand it. That's one of the first things I thought of. I would be, if I were one of those bench guys, like that would ever happen. I'd never get near an NBA bench. But if I were, I would be rooting so hard, right?
Right.
$500,000, man. And I didn't do anything.
Yeah. And that's like.
I understand it.
You know, doubling their salary for some of these guys, you know, some of the G League guys and some of the two-way players. And so, no, it was a success. You know, what it showed me, though, if we're being honest, is that with enough hype and marketing around it, anything is possible. Like, as a basketball fan, I'm going to watch basketball no matter what. And then you throw the hype machine, the marketing, they hammer it, you know, over your head on ESPN and TNT, and you make it a bigger deal than what it really actually is. And that's what we saw with from the NBA, the hype machine, the marketing machine at its finest.
Yeah, but the players bought in addition to that, which was vitally important, the players bought in, and we ended up with some really good games. And that's really the bottom line. Hey, November, sometimes people don't pay attention as much to the NBA.
Right.
Can we do something to improve the product? And you improve the product with better games, and that's what we got. So, yeah, it was almost worth seeing the Lakers win it.
The question is, though, was it a novelty thing? Are we talking about it now because it was the first in 5 years where we really be having discussion about the in-season tournament champion?
That's good question.
That's the question. Like, most of the discussion now is about, oh, it's a novelty. Who cares? It's one. What does it really mean? Like, we can't have those discussions in year five and year 10.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it has to be about the basketball and the team that wins it. And so, are we going to be having those discussions, or will it be like, all right, you know, so-and-so won it.
Right.
And then we move on.
Yeah, that may hinge on what tweaks they decide to make and how well they execute them. JP on the chat, that's two Mickey Mouse rings for LeBron. It's actually three in my book, JP.
Three?
That first one he won when they beat the Heat, that was also a strike-shortened season. When the Heat beat the Thunder. When the Heat beat the Thunder, that was a strike-shortened season, so... Three of
LeBron. Do you really believe that, or are you just pandering to the crowd right now?
I believe that because I want to. But I also believe LeBron is phenomenal. When he's done playing, I don't know that I've ever rooted for him. When he's done playing, I'm going to miss him. Seriously, I'm going to miss him so much.
And somebody raised that point. The league is in good hands. A lot of great talent, you know. But who's that iconic guy when LeBron leaves? You know, we had Jordan. He was that guy. You know, Kobe and Shaq, LeBron. Like, who's that?
It's a good question.
That guy that you love to hate,
yeah,
or vice versa.
If you go through the history of the league, and pardon me if I've mentioned this before, there was you kind of had, you know, Mike in, presumably, and at some point you had, like, Bill Russell, and Chamberlain, you had Kareem. You had Julius Irving, and Magic Bird, Jordan. When Jordan left, as you probably remember, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What do we have? Sean Kemp?
Sean Kemp.
Grant
Tim
Hill?
Duncan and the Spurs?
Maybe? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then LeBron came in as like, oh, wow, he's the guy.
Right.
When he leaves, I don't, you know.
Who is it?
Wemby?
Like,
maybe?
Wemby? Like, for instance, Jokic, as great of a player, he doesn't elicit a reaction. Like,
no,
you know, you need, is it Steph? But Steph's up there, too. He's getting old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if there's a guy in the league that can take the mantle as the face of the league. And what comes with that is a segment of the fan base that loves you, but also one that hates you as well. And I don't know if we have that guy who polarizes the NBA like LeBron did.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we won't have to worry about that for a while. Maybe Bronny will be that guy.
He made his debut yesterday at
USC.
How about that?
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think next year we're going to see Bronny and LeBron together?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, right? He's going to be one and done. And
Probably the Lakers, right?
And I don't know if he's an NBA caliber player, but because LeBron is his dad, he'll be on some roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say the same thing about Giannis's brother, Thanasis, in Milwaukee. You know,
Costas, and I think there's another
one
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex.
There was four of them. Alex, you know, Antetokounmpo. There was four of them in the league, and so I do think Bronny will be in the league next year.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't like to publicly root for LeBron. I'm going to miss him. And I'm looking forward to that. We'll see how that ends up. When we come right back here to the Golden One Center, Kings, trade talk. Is it time for the Kings to jump in on a big splashy deal with both feet? That's next here from the Golden One Center with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Go to Kyle Draper now. He can tell us what's going on here on the floor as the Kings and the Nets are getting ready to go. There's Keon Ellis out there, right? You got the first and second years working
out. Yeah, you got the group out there. You got Keon Ellis. You got Slauson, Jordan Ford, and Colby Jones out there, the usual suspects. How about Keon still working out with the youngsters? Like, this guy's a rotation player right now, and he's still sticking with it.
Yeah, yeah. He had a nice game, didn't he, against
the
Suns?
He did. He played extremely well. That was a must-win, I think, for Sacramento. When you look at, you know, Phoenix without two of their stars. In fact, I do believe Brad Beal is set to come back tomorrow against the Warriors. But, you know, without two of their stars, you're on the road. You want to get that one because – you got this tough schedule. You got tonight, then you got the back-to-back. And so that was a good win. De'Aaron Fox put the team on his back in the fourth. And so that was a feel-good win, if you will, because if you lose that game, you're feeling pretty crummy.
Yeah.
Coming off that Pelicans loss, and then you lose to Phoenix. So things, the order was restored in the world.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. And I know the Suns were shorthanded, but, hey, a road win's a road win.
Yes.
Right? And you got Sasha had a good game. Keon played well. Malik Monk is not going to be with the Kings this evening, though, huh?
Yeah, Malik Monk.
That's no
bad. They say he's sick. Let me get the most up-to-date. Did that become official? The most up-to-date injury report here. I just pulled it up. Malik Monk is, drum roll, please, still questionable.
Okay.
In the latest injury report that came out. And so illness is the reason. The question begs, without him, he's arguably your de facto backup point guard, best bench player. That's a huge loss. Who steps up in his absence?
Yeah, it really is going to take two players, right?
Yeah.
Is your backup point guard, I don't know, maybe we see some Davion.
Yeah, maybe Davion, Keon Ellis. But then the offensive part.
Sasha's got to be the, right?
Our guy Sasha, yes. And I said this the other day on the post-game show. I think Sasha has earned, you know, 20 minutes a night. He had 14 points. He had three steals.
Yeah, I saw
that. Think about that. Three steals from Sasha. And so if I'm Mike Brown, I'm playing Sasha 15 to 20 minutes a night because what he can give you as the season progresses and down the stretch, he's a guy that can get you 15 to 20 points on any given night. And so I want to see him develop and get more time as the season goes on because I think you're going to need him once the playoffs come.
I also feel like there's a level that he can get to, and he's almost there, where something's going to click into place, and he's going to be, all right, I got this, and he's going to be a consistent, you know, 8 to 14 point a game guy. And I think he has another gear or two beyond that.
Yes.
But I think he's close to being a guy that, you know, night in, night out, he's going to pose a threat to the other team.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with him is just the opportunity, right? Like getting the opportunity to be on the floor. And so I agree with you. I mean,
he's really close.
He's really close, and he's showing us more than just a three-point shot, too, that I like. Some of his backdoor cuts, the other game against Phoenix, were exquisite. And so he's impacting the game in other ways other than just shooting a three.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that was that he's best known for, right? The shooting, of course, is the main
right.
thing. But the other thing is, you know, when the Kings first went over to scout him, and then saw him play without the ball, they knew right away, all right, he's going to fit in our offense. And early on, we all we saw him do was, like, get it and get rid of
it
quickly as he
could. Yeah, and we're seeing that, you know, what made him so great in Europe. And so I'd like to see him move even more.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would like to see him sort of in that Kevin Huerter role offensively. How many times do we see them run stuff for Kevin Huerter off the down screen or something like that, you know, where he uses the screen, Sabonis screen, or he uses his dribble, a two-man game. Like, I want to see more responsibilities being added to Sasha Vezenkov.
I want to see Kevin Huerter make some shots tonight because he was 0 for 4. Mm. You know how it doesn't – and I'm guilty. I'm one of them, I admit. You know how it doesn't take some of us long before we're saying, hey, what's going on with Kevin Huerter? And I don't want to wander back down that road. We went down that road early in the year, and I think he took care of things. So hopefully he knocked down some shots tonight.
Are you worried about Kevin Huerter at all or no? I mean, second game without a field goal this season, like 0 for 4 – and Mike Brown cut his minutes, too, 17 minutes. I think that was huge, you know. And he, I will say, and I got some numbers right here, he had a finger injury. Remember, he missed maybe a game or two. In the 11 games before the finger injury, he was shooting 38% from three. Since the finger injury, 35.4.
So, you know which finger it is?
I do. It's the index finger, I do believe. Okay. Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, I mean, I know people say, come on, you're
professional.
Come on,
right.
I'll make a big difference.
That could make a difference.
Shoots the ball that well.
And
so,
I mean, but that's the beauty of this Kings team.
See, I could have said, was it this finger, Kyle? And
I thought that's where you were going. I'm like, let me look at him and be like, he's not showing me the finger
down,
right now.
Which finger was it?
that's exactly where my mind went, you know? I was about to show it to you, and I'm like, that's not, you can't do that in the workplace. I'm not going
to. Oh, you were going to give it to
me. I was going to give it to you. I thought that's what you were setting me up for, you know? But now, hopefully he comes out firing tonight. This is a big game, man. You got to get this one because tomorrow's going to be tough against the Clippers. And did you know this Brooklyn team, I know they don't have the big names, but they're the number one three-point shooting team in NBA.
Yes.
And so your defense got to be on point against these guys.
Yeah, and they're they've won three in a row, and they've got some players I really like. I love Cam Johnson, and you know, Bridges is – I don't know why Bridges isn't considered – he's like – I'm going back a ways here. I apologize. He's in a lot of ways, he's kind of like Jamal Wilkes.
Yes.
Didn't look like him, but as far as what he gets done, he's very Jamal Wilkes-esque to me.
Yeah, a guy that's averaging 23 points per game and, you know, came over in that Kevin Durant trade, and he's arguably the face of the franchise there in Brooklyn. And he's a two-way player.
Just throwing in with a left hand, a sweeping left
hand.
You
saw that? You watched?
Yeah. Wow.
You love this, huh?
I love
this part of it.
I do.
This behind the scenes, watching guys work out.
Now, as we wrap up the thread here, Kyle, we've been talking about Shams and the article today in The Athletic about the Kings are believed to be a team that has interest in Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. Bottom line for us, where do you think that is with the Kings right now? Some of this we're just guessing because we know they have talked. We don't know how much interest they have now. What's your best guess where it is? Where do you think it should be? And where would it be if you were the one in charge?
If I'm in charge, if I'm Monty McNair, I'm going OG. Your guy, OG Anunoby.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, to your point, you need a two-way player. You need a defender, a wing defender, and a guy that can knock down shots. And I think OG is just scratching the surface. There's something going on up there in Toronto where, you know, he's a solid player. He's a good player. But I think he could really take another leap in the right system. Like Pascal Siakam, I think we've seen the best of Pascal. It's pretty good. It's darn good.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that. But I think OG has room to grow. OG, I'm looking at his numbers right now. He's a 38.8% three-point shooter. He's 26 years old. So he's just now entering his prime, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at it, and he's taking 6.4 threes per game. So it's not like he's, you know, shooting 38% on two threes per game. Like, he's getting it up. And he's taken 11.9 shots. I really think this guy can, you know, improve his game, get better looks, plays with a toughness, a physicality, 7'2 wingspan, like I mentioned, He's exactly what the Kings need, I think, of those two guys. For
yeah,
sure.
I agree. I think you could plug him in, get him. He'd make you better day one.
Day one,
you're better. Even if his shot doesn't fall, you're still better defensively. Now, I don't know if it's worth it based on what happens next year. If I had any indication that I had a shot at signing him, can you tell us, and I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can look it up. Next year, cap-wise, do the Kings, is it within their means to maybe bring someone in and sign a free agent to a big deal or go out and get a free agent?
No, I don't think they can sign a max guy. Like, they can't, you know, that DeMontis Sabonis contract extension kicks in next season. And then De'Aaron Fox obviously making a lot. And you got to sign Malik Monk as well.
Right.
So now you're talking about, are you trying to go into the tax, you know, tax, if Vivek willing to do that, and I don't know about that.
So if you bring in one of those two guys, it's going to be probably financially tough to keep whichever.
Yeah, but Pascal's at 38. Like, he's at a different apron than OG.
I'm already,
you know, you're already.
And I like him, but I just don't think it's a fit.
Yeah, let me pull up their salary numbers for next season. I don't think they have the room to sign like a $40 million.
OG has a $19.9 million player option for next year, but you know that he's gonna.
Yeah, he's gonna opt out of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Free agent.
Ooh, he's man. So Domas is at $41.8 million next season. De'Aaron's at $35 million. Harrison's at $18 million. Kevin Herter's at $17 million. So those four, right there, put you up close to the cap, and you got to, you know, if you're Vivek, are you going to bring a guy in, try to re-sign him, go into the salary tax? I don't know.
In terms of projected cap space, the Kings are 17th in the league going into next year, so kind of middle of the pack.
Do you got a number on that, Kyle Ledbetter?
It says negative 9.8 million, but that doesn't account for some spending stuff that's annoying. They would get access to a mid-level exception, which adds money to it, but I just made it simple by saying 17th in the league.
Oh, I got the solution. I bring in whichever one you want. Give me one, whichever one. Just name one. Doesn't matter.
OG.
Okay, OG. Come here. Yeah, see, this is our deal financially. I want to show you this Ohtani thing, buddy.
Some deferred compensation, something like that.
It'd help us out. You get a lot of money.
To answer your question on a free agent signing, it would have to be a sign and trade with the team that he's leaving with. If it were to be Ananobi, who's expected to make between $20 and $30 million a year on his next contract.
That'd be tough.
How about this, guys? I'm looking at Domas's contract extension. 39 next year, 42 and change the following year, 45 and change, and $48 million the last season. That's a massive deal. And so your window, Whitey, with this core is these next 4 years, next 4 years or so. And so I don't know if OG's the guy. I don't know if De'Aaron Fox makes another big leap, but DeMontis Sabonis' window is these next 4 or 5 years, I think.
Would you agree that ideally Keegan becomes one of those guys, but even then you still need somehow, some way, you need one more.
Right. And it has to be a constant improvement.
Yeah.
Like, I could argue you need to improve the bench as well, too.
Uh-huh.
You need a backup point guard, too. And so I think, you know, I look at Denver's model, and if I'm Monty, that's who I'm eyeballing, the way Denver did it. It took them a while, but they kept their core intact. Then they made a big deal to get Aaron Gordon, and that changed everything. That really put them over the hump. Is OG or Aaron Gordon? I don't know. I don't know.
When we come right back, I think Kyle's going to hate this, but is this King the Brock Purdy of the Kings? Kings and their 49er counterparts. When we come back to the Golden One Center, it's a Drive, guys. Sactown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
All my life I've been looking for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting closer to the prize at the end of the road. It's the Drive Guys here on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Frankie's already here. Our Sacktown Sports insider.
Look at him.
Slaving away hours before game time. And it behooves you to read what they write and follow them on Twitter. I see this here from Emil Fragoso, our 49er insider. Both Charvarius Ward, pardon me, and Javon Hargrave have a chance to play Week 15 in Arizona, but we'll need to see where they are later this week. He says very good news for the 49ers. So
okay, all yeah. right.
Kyle was at the game yesterday.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Cracker jack at a time watching those 49ers roll.
I felt weird walking down. Like, the moment I parked and saw all that red, I will say it was a party out there. The tailgating was good. Like, the music was great. It was a party out there. Just all, it's too much red, you know. It just, I really like, what am I doing here? Why am I, you know, hanging out with, you know, these guys? You know, it just.
Do you like the thing, was it when they get a first down?
Yeah. I didn't get it at first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like, what? And then by, like, the third quarter, I was like, all right, okay, I see what they're doing. Yeah, it was kind of, what does that.
That's from, is it the movie 3000, I think?
Is that what it is? Okay, all right. All right, I wasn't sure why they did that. All right.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So a good atmosphere out there. You know, that was a feel-good game. You know, 49er fans went out there knowing we're probably going to beat this team. But the Seahawks made it more interesting than I thought they would.
Yeah, with no Geno Smith out there. I thought Drew Lock played well, you know, first half especially. I go back to, there was a play, I think it was second quarter, fourth and two from about the 48, mm-hmm. something like that. And Pete Carroll decided to kick it. And I said, nope. Against the Niners, you got to score touchdowns. You got to score touchdowns. And, you know, I think the Niners went down and scored. That was that Brock Purdy to Deebo Samuel touchdown. And I said, see? Like, and if you would have scored, you would have got the ball back to start the third quarter, too. Like, it was your ball, you know. And so I'm like, all right, now you're up. You're in a position. But he punted it away, and the Niners, I think, went down and scored after that.
I know you saw that DK Metcalf was involved in that scrape.
Yeah.
Did you see how frustrated he was? At one point, you know, they have behind the bench, they have these, it looks like they're PVC things, and they're helmet warmers.
Yeah.
And he destroyed that with his helmet.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see it. Oh, man.
Yeah, because, you know, I think he was open. He wanted to get involved. He was a little bit early, but he wasn't getting the ball, and they were. You know, they're that team is sinking fast now.
A few weeks ago. Fourth grade losses, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah,
for the first time
right
since Pete Carroll has been the coach. So, very frustrating day for them yesterday.
Yes, and they're pretty much, I don't want to say done, but I think they're done. How about?
I'll say they're done.
Yeah, they're done, right?
I'm saying.
I know you will.
It's wide open. And, you know, in the AFC now, it's wide open in the NFC, of course, talking about Seattle. In the AFC, there are, what, nine teams that are either 8-5 or 7-6.
Yeah, like one, 2 through 10 or something like that.
It's
like nothing's set in stone except, you know, Baltimore has the lead, then Miami. And after that, it is a dog fight. Yeah. It could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at the conference standings. I just need to see the NFC for my own eyes. Yeah, we're third. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see.
Hey, there's no shame in being a wild card team, you know?
Hey, Niners were there last year, right?
Currently, in the AFC, we have the Steelers, Colts, Texans, Broncos, Bengals, and Bills all 7-6.
Yeah. Wait, the 49ers were not a wild card team last year.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah. They were division champions.
Yeah, I forgot. They got hot 2 years ago, right? Wasn't it 2 years ago? They were wild card.
That sounds
that right.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Michael has been hanging on. Apparently has a bone to pick about something we said about De'Aaron Fox. Michael, thanks for listening. You're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
Wow, just coming down the roadway, and I've heard Kyle. I thought he kind of fell on his head. I was a little worried about him or something. Twice he keeps saying that waiting for De'Aaron to make that big leap. And I'm thinking, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, if he wasn't buried in Sacramento and he was in a major market with the marketing machine those teams have, his play, he would be talked about as a top five MVP candidate. The kid is not going to take a much more huge leap because I think he's already there. Who do you not want the ball in your hand in the last minute of a game other than maybe Giannis, who's almost 7 feet? Maybe a Jason Tatum, and probably LeBron going to the basket. Other than that, I'm putting the hand the ball in the hands, probably a De'Aaron Fox. Nobody can stop him on a drive.
Thank you, Michael. Interesting points.
Yeah, I just don't think De'Aaron Fox has hit that level yet. You know, I think he still has room for improvement. I think, you know, the consistency more than just a year and a half. Like, we could have that discussion. Let's talk about the top five players in the league right now. Jokic, right?
I'll just go this way, if I may.
Yeah.
Third team all league. That's phenomenal.
That's top 15.
Right.
That's 10 were better than you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it's incredible.
It's incredible. Right.
It's an amazing honor and it's well deserved.
Right.
But it's not top five.
It's not top five. And I'm talking about to win a championship, Sacramento. And you look at the teams and players that win championships, they're top five. Like, I can pull it up right now. We can have this discussion because we're talking about where do the Kings need to get to if they're going to win a championship. And let's have that discussion.
I do think it's a good point Michael makes. I mean, you look at Halliburton, what he does, and it's not like Indiana's a huge market, but De'Aaron Fox probably doesn't get the recognition that he should, and I think some of that is Sacramento-related.
You think so? You think it's – or is it personality? Like, Halliburton invites the cameras. De'Aaron Fox, he couldn't care less about being the face of the league or that – kind of shine, I think. What do you think? I mean, all right, real quick here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going through NBA champions. Denver, Jokic, MVP. Golden State, Steph Curry, former MVP. Milwaukee, Giannis. Lakers,
yeah,
LeBron.
But doesn't count.
Toronto, Kawhi was at the top of his game.
Right.
Golden State, Cleveland. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have that dude. And De'Aaron Fox is trending in that direction. I think we need to just see more of it. And in the playoffs, we need to see a sustained success. I mean, Jokic, it took him a minute to get to the championship. That's not a knock on De'Aaron Fox. He's just not there yet.
Yeah, I appreciate that Michael's obviously a great Kings fan, and he makes a great point. We saw it Friday night. I never in my life have seen anybody like Fox in the fourth quarter when he wants to get to the bottom of the dotted circle. Every time. He did it Friday. It's like he just, all right, because he's so fast, he can get there anytime he wants. But for the Kings to become the team they want to be, I still think there is room for improvement, which says a ton about him if he's as good as he is, third team all-league, and you can still look at him and say, you know what, he could still be better.
You know, and this is the area that he can be better in. The consistency, whereas night in and night out, he's the best player on the floor. And that's not just his team. It's the opponent as well. Against the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram was the best player on the floor.
Yep.
Like, against the Denver Nuggets, even though they lost, Jokic was the best player. You know what I mean? So even in a losing effort, you're still the best player out there. And that's where I think De'Aaron Fox, we've seen it. We've seen flashes. He can be that guy, but he has to keep the foot on the gas pedal and night in and night out bring it like that.
Do you think he's going to average 30 a game this year? Because I think he's going to be right there.
Yeah.
Or just maybe a tick below, right at 30.
I think just a tick below. And this raises the question, you know, do we need or want De'Aaron Fox to average 30 a game? You know, are we okay with him averaging 27 and letting other people, you know, get going as well? And so that's the one thing we know about De'Aaron Fox. He's not a selfish ball player. You know, he's averaging 30.5 points per game right now, shooting 37% from three. I'll take that. I'll take 37%.
Absolutely.
From three,
last
for
year, correct me if I'm wrong, but last year he started hot and kind of
dipped off.
Yeah.
In December, he started going down. And so I don't know. You know, the caller, you know, want to say De'Aaron Fox is there. Maybe he is. But you got to earn it in the postseason. He started doing that, got hurt.
Warriors won.
Now this year he has to take that next step, I think.
I think we can all agree if he's not there, he's definitely trending that way. And he's trending towards becoming probably the best player the Sacramento Kings have ever had.
I think so. I agree with you. And, you know, who would be that player right now? Mitch Richmond? C-Webb?
Maybe Webb. I mean, Mitch is Hall of Fame, but he didn't do all his damage here. To me, it's C-Webb. But, one of those. And Peja was great, but probably not as good as those two.
Yeah. I think you could argue right now he's a top three Sacramento Kings player of all time. And I think the only thing missing from his resume that would put him ahead of a guy like Chris Webber is postseason success.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have that.
When we come right back, as we mentioned, I still got to tell you who I say the Brock Purdy of the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
And can we get some Drapes takes from Friday?
Yeah, I got you covered on that. Yes, sir.
All right. Worth the wait. Drapes takes from Friday night's win when we come right back to the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports.
Yeah.
The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Friday nights or weekends, it's tough for us because we're so used to getting into Drapes takes the next day. We had to wait. We've had to wait for this since Friday night.
Man.
But the wait is over. Kyle Draper with Drapes takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Drapes with Drape Takes here on Sactown Sports 1140. I know it's been a long weekend. We had the Niners game, the Eagles game, you know, basketball. We had in-season tournament. But if you remember, your Sacramento Kings are coming off a big 114-106 win on the road against Phoenix. And here's my first take. We saw in that third quarter what the Kings can be defensively. I'm not saying holding Phoenix to 12 points a quarter is what's going to happen. But whatever Mike Brown said at the half, he has to bottle that up and use it to start the game. How many times have we seen this team get down big or get down early and then have to rally back? Tonight, I want whatever halftime speech Mike Brown used, use it before the game tonight. I want to see them come out fired up. That 33-12 third quarter, I had a chance. We had talked to Sasha after the game on the post-game show. And I'm like, what did Mike Brown say to you guys? He wouldn't tell us. He wouldn't give us the secret sauce. He's like, I'm not going to tell you what happened in the locker room. But clearly, Mike Brown delivered a message and the guys responded. I'd like to see them start the game off that way.
Yeah, Malik Monk had that look, I would say, especially in the third quarter. He had that look like, doesn't matter what you guys do.
Yes.
We're better than you and we're going to beat you tonight. Maybe Mike Brown just reminded him, you know who these guys are? You see who they're throwing out there against you tonight? Come on. You're better than this bunch. So let's go to work and get our work done. And they did.
And they did in a big fashion. 33-12 in that third quarter. 31 they put up in the fourth. Phoenix scored 35. But by then, the Kings were cruising. My second Drape takes is that guy on the floor right now, Sasha Vezenkov. His best game as a member of the Sacramento Kings. And I know it takes Mike Brown time to figure out the rotation, figure out who's going to play or who's not going to play. And don't tell me to calm down Kyle Ledbetter back there in the studio. I'm fired up. If I'm Mike Brown, Sasha Vezenkov needs to play 20 minutes a night. Here's your rotation. You got your starting five. You got Malik Monk. You got Trey Lyles. You got Sasha. And then whether you want to go Keon, whether you want to go Davion, you could throw in JaVale McGee. But your top eight should be set. And to me, Sasha is part of that. He's earned that spot.
He hasn't earned it yet. If he plays.
He hasn't earned it yet in your book?
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. If he continues to play like he did Friday, we got no issues. But I'm not ready yet to just say, all right, 20 minutes a game are yours. He's got to show me that he knows what he's doing and cares about what he's doing at the other end. I want to give him those minutes.
The dude had three steals.
He had three steals. Come on.
Come on. What do you mean? Come on. That's a defensive stat.
He blocked a shot. He's a good defender.
That's a defensive stat.
It's a step in the right direction. I want to. Coach and I want to give him the minutes. We're not quite there yet. Maybe tonight he can seal the deal.
He had 14 points, three steals,
yeah,
5 of 7 from the field. And so
Monday, I couldn't even keep him on the floor against the Pelicans.
This is a EuroLeague MVP. Put some respect on his name. Put him in the rotation 20 minutes per night. All right, the third and final Drapes take, the evolution of De'Aaron Fox. He started off slowly in that game. I think he was 3 of 11 at one point.
Looked pretty average.
Yeah, it looked pretty average, and I was worried about it. I'm like, uh-oh, it's going to be a rough night. The Suns are going to get us. De'Aaron's off. But what he did in that fourth quarter is something we have never seen from De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
That's right. 23 points in the fourth quarter, the most he scored in any quarter in his entire career. I need that De'Aaron Fox every single game. He had 34 points, 7 assists, and only 2 turnovers, also had a steal. if De'Aaron Fox is going to be an MVP candidate, is going to be a top five player, he can't have nights with 16 points. He can't have nights with 14 points like we saw against the Pelicans. This dude needs to be the best player night in and night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the best player night in and night out. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox has to do that as well.
To me, De'Aaron Fox heard everything that was being said about Tyrese Halliburton. And, oh, did the Kings trade the wrong guy? Look, Tyrese Halliburton in the in-season tournament. I love Tyrese Halliburton. I know you do, nothing against him. But I think De'Aaron Fox decided, it's time for me to shut some of these people up.
Yes, exactly. And this is the type of game tonight against Brooklyn where if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I'm looking at that fourth quarter as a quarter I should be on the bench chilling. I should be watching.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
So I want to see De'Aaron Fox come out right from the get-go, put his imprint on this game, take over this game so that in the fourth quarter he can chill and get ready for the second night of a back-to-back.
How does he continue to get to his spot in the fourth quarter when everybody in the league knows what he likes to do in the fourth quarter? Everybody knows that the Kings run their offense for three quarters, and then it's a whole different offense. Right. It's him, and he continues to have success with it. How does that happen?
Well, obviously we know his speed, his ball handling. And now you got to respect the jump shot as well. And he's one of the most shifty players in the entire NBA. I'm not saying unorthodox, but some of his moves are so slick, so skilled. So you just other guys just can't do those moves. And so I think De'Aaron Fox, man, one of the moves that I love that he does, he'll look like he's driving to the basket and then pull it back for a foul line jump shot. Mm-hmm. That's indefensible. Because you got to respect the speed getting downhill. And as soon as you think, uh-oh, he's going to the basket, it's like, bam, he stops on a dime. And so his speed and quickness and ball handling and now his shot making makes him virtually unguardable, man.
You know what I love about Domas? And that's Drape's Takes
for
today.
Yeah, that's Drape's Takes. Yes.
Thank you very much. As I said, worth the wait. What I love about Domas, you know, Domas, like De'Aaron Fox, you said he's not selfish. Domas doesn't have a selfish bone in his body.
Right.
But he knows, and you know how it is. You've coached, you play basketball, yep. You know that certain times in a certain offense, when a post player gets a touch in a certain spot, what is he supposed to do? You're supposed to score. And he recognizes that, especially when there's a smaller player on him. He is absolutely relentless in those situations.
Yes.
Now, he's not a selfish player, but he knows it's my time to score. He works so hard, and there are times when occasionally, you know, if he's shut down, he will kick it out. He's capable of doing that, but he is relentless when it's time for him to take the ball to the basket.
Yeah, it's like he's not to be denied,
right? Right.
And especially in that fourth quarter, it's just he puts his head down. And the thing is, how many times have we seen him? It looks like he's bottled up, nowhere to go.
Right, that's
he
it.
Finds
yes,
some way
that's
to
it.
Get it up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You can't teach that, right? That's just an innate ability to wiggle through spots and find your lanes. It's tremendous to watch, man. And that's why he's unguardable. You know, when you look at the guard position and finishing around the rim, he's among the leaders. He was last year. I mean, this guy can finish from all different angles. Sort of reminds me of Kyrie. Kyrie's a little more finesse with it. But, man, once they get in that paint, then – one thing we saw the other night, too, Whitey, and I want to point out with De'Aaron, his ability to use his body to absorb the contact or initiate the contact.
Right.
Like, he'll put a shoulder in somebody, create some space, and able to get it off. He's just been tremendous, man.
When we come right back, we touched on it, but was Friday the start of big things for Mr. Vezenkov? That's coming up here from the Golden 1 Center with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.